Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, War of the Words, episode number 119, man. It is 2 o'clock, your time, and about 8 a.m. here in Halualoa, Hawaii, close to where I am currently. I don't know why I started this off like an NPR segment. For the words, man, you know what we're saying? It's number 119. We're going to talk today with the number one flyweight contender, Chad May, who's taking on, I guess, the other number one contender, Malik Harris, awesome fighter. Both guys, July 25th in Charleston at the Memminger Auditorium at the now, most likely, unless I miss something, sold-out event going down at the Memminger. Man, this thing is stacked and packed with a lot of amazing fights, and you want to make sure to be there if you haven't got a chance to do so already, although the pickings are probably pretty slim at this point. But today, we got a great half-hour show for you this morning with Chad May. He'll be on with us in just a moment. We're going to talk about this conflict fight, coming back. Definitely want to talk to him about the status that he carries with him and what that is like for him. And also American Top Team. They just had a new facility, ATT Lowcountry, open up in Charleston. The big talk there is that it's more than just a gym, that they're there to actually set up a base for fighters, a new outlet, home turf, if you will, for a whole slew, an array of elite fighters from South Carolina. Because, and I'm glad to see this happen. I've been a part of this MMA scene for quite some time in the Southeast, and Charleston has just seemed like such a hub for MMA. And, it waxes and wanes, but I think the time for this is so perfect because I've never seen Charleston at a more height for MMA, whether that be with gyms or with actual events. In Conflict MMA, this is their second time back this year in Charleston, and that's really put a lot of fire in. And considering also this season of The Ultimate Fighter, a lot of guys from around here, and so much more action from the UFC level down has been going on in the past couple of days. In the past couple of months, I think this is going to be a huge change, and elevate a lot of guys to the next level. And there are several guys, matter of fact, on this upcoming conflict card that have had an opportunity to swap over and try this new gym out with Mickey Friedman and some really incredible other guys. So I'm excited to talk to Chad about that, and he'll be calling in just a second. Also, something else, guys, while I have you, that I wanted to bring on. My co-host, Kobe Wall, is also on vacation, so you haven't heard him on the show in the past couple episodes, and that is why. But he will be returning. I guess, unlike me, I can't stop working, so here I am in paradise on the Big Island of Hawaii, and still doing kick-ass radio all the way from here, rocking about South Carolina action. So just want to throw that out there, that he will be back. And also, guys, I've been a part of music for most of my entire life. It was, other than writing, probably my second passion, and it's something I love. I'm very obsessed with the underground scene, new music, things that come out and that are popping and exciting and vibrant and move people, whether that be punk or rock or grunge or rap or experimental, anything, man. And what we started to do with the help of Tim Holman, So some are fight stars, some of our other family and friends here in the MMA community. We started a record label. It's called Final Fight Records. It's where you guys can come and stand and bang in a whole different way. We're supporting music comes from and made by people in the MMA community. So if you make music, man, and you want to join us on our little quest and mission, you know, you can just hop right in. We have a great social media team and group of guys that I really think can get behind it and make some things happen and push this. And I think it'll be a beautiful thing, man. And speaking of beautiful things, I've got a very beautiful thing right here on the line for all you guys. I'm going to go ahead without further delay and bring him on, Mr. Chadwin Bartholomew May. Chad, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It's good to hear you, man. How you doing?
I know. I haven't heard your sweet voice in so long. I'm doing all right, man.
I know.
I've been running around trying to get this move straightened out and also get my medicals done in time, so... Got my eyes dilated. I'm driving down the road. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to make sure that, I'm all squared away.
That's, you know, I love the, you know, we've always known you were a dedicated, you know, martial artist. And I think, you know, putting your life on the line for the sake of getting your medicals done and coming on the radio, I think it just shows the level of dedication you have for the sport, Chad.
Of course, man, of course. And you know what? I'm a multitasker. You know, if I can do 10 things at once, why wouldn't I do it?
Exactly. And one of those 10 things you're going to be doing this month is this title fight coming up. I was kind of talking about it a little bit. July 25th, man. Meminger, you know, there's a lot of people talking about this fight, and for good reason. I wanted to kind of start off with something. I say it's a simple question, but it's really not. It's almost one for the ages, and that's this. There's a lot of, we'll say, you know, in the flyweight division, there are a select number of guys in the Southeast, especially, you know, right here close to where we are. You've always been one of these guys and one of these names that people say, you know, well, anybody who claims to be the best in the flyweight division or even right around that weight has got to face Chad May or fight Chad May. That name's got to be there. So I guess my first question before we kick in is, how does that make you feel to know that you're, you know, you're one of these guys that people talk about and you're somebody that people feel like if they want to be legit, they have to have faced you on their resume?
Hey, man, I'm extremely blessed. You know, I don't come from a wrestling background. I played sports growing up, but it was never anything like that. I mean, I did taekwondo when I was younger for a couple of years, did a couple of tournaments there. But when I started training when I was 20 and hopped into a jiu-jitsu gym and did a little bit of stand-up sparring, that footwork went right out the window, and I might as well have been a beginner. So... from starting 4 years ago to now, to be included with, some absolute killers is just truly a blessing, man. I love this sport. I'm not a fighter. I'm a martial artist. I do this because I love it. I'm in the gym because I don't feel right when I don't go. So it's just awesome to have other people outside of my circle see my dedication. And, you know, when you say that people want to face me, I mean, that in my opinion, is the best way to get a gauge of your skill. You know, I might not have too many fights, but if people are saying they need to fight me to see where you stand, then obviously my reputation is carrying.
It is, without question. Excuse me. As you know, Chad, I have a little bit of a cold. excuse me.
Are you good, man?
I should have tried to conceal that way better. you know, early morning. I'm getting my eyes dilated too, we'll say.
That's right.
I couldn't agree more, man. I think that it speaks a tremendous amount, and it always has. I remember when, just to tell, you know, tell a story, I'm full of these, and most of them are true. I moved to Charleston from Spartanburg, where I was working with the Scoggins family and renting out a house that they owned. And I got a chance to hang out with Jared Scoggins a good deal, a lot. And one of the things that he talked about several times, just hanging out on nights, you know, in the backyard, on the porch or whatnot, you know, not in the gym, just chilling settings. And, you know, your name would come up. And on top of that, you know, we've had it, that same situation happen with several other guys, including Malik Harris, who has, you know, like, kind of crushed his way through the division and forced himself through his skill and his talent into that mix of flyweight guys, and been added, you know, much like yourself, into that list of people who are like, man, I gotta face this guy. So I think there's a lot of weight there. And my second question has to do with the training, man. You know, there's been a lot of changes in the Charleston scene, especially with the group of fighters that reside there, many of who are friends of mine, that, you know, there's always been the action of full force. So I definitely want you to touch on that when you answer. But there's recently been kind of a wave of changeover to American Top Team. There's been an elite gym, Hittown. They've really, you know, I kind of want to let you speak on it, but tell us a little bit about Full Force, and a little bit about what you're doing now with American Top Team.
Oh, for sure. Let me start by saying Full Force and Jonathan Jader and Jason Hicks took me immediately under their wing and have had very, I'm trying to word this right, scratch that. Jonathan Jader has put more effort into me than any other coach I know. He has spent countless hours of me and him in his garage going over technique, refining the game plan, pushing my cardio, pushing my conditioning. And the thing that makes Full Force really what they are is the brotherhood. You know, it's a band of guys who are about just getting together, putting in the work, and leaving it all out in the cage. You know, Full Force guys don't always win, but when they fight, you know you're in for a battle. And that's a mantra that I have tried to carry through my fights and continue. I'd like to continue to do that. I want, even if someone beats me, I want them to be like, dang, man, that was a tough fight. You know, that was hard. And that has been instilled in me through those guys. I mean, I couldn't be more appreciative of what John Jader and Jason Hicks have done for me. And with the whole changes and gyms disbanding and whatnot, nothing changed with Full Force. I still was getting my work in. I'm still in a garage 2 to 3 times a week, sweating my butt off, getting my butt kicked, and working hard. So in regards to the Full Force situation, we keep it moving. Nothing's going to stop us from training, you know. and so it's just truly a blessing to have John Jader just putting in so many hours into guys, and all for free. Full Force is the spot.
He is an amazing dude, man. He's a great guy. The dude couldn't be more passionate and more honest about his passion about MMA. A lot of guys have 5,000 other ulterior motives why they want to train with you, or
right,
they want to do this and that. And I also rarely have met an individual that's so honest about what he cares about, really, really in all manner, but especially when it comes to martial arts. I'm actually pretty stoked to have their band on our new, like, MMA music record label we just started. I play their music on the show
awesome,
all the
man.
Time.
I didn't
but
know about that.
Yeah, Yeah, man. They make some really great kind of grungy rock music. Jason Hicks and Jader and Josh Boring, and so it's awesome to have. We're gonna be awesome to have them. So they're just all around making the big changes. But I've also been a huge fan of Full Force for a long time, and their fighters. You know, I've always there was always a group of guys you meet. You know, everybody say what they want. They see the pictures, they see the results in the cage, but you couldn't meet a nicer group of dudes. And I moved from far away, and you know, you talked about that brotherhood, and I you know, I fit right in and in with that immediately, and it made such a nice impact, man. And so I can also back that up. And then there's a new venture that just hit town, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that half?
It couldn't have come at a more perfect time. Let me put it to you that way. Obviously, we have Malachi Friedman from Coconut Creek making his way back to his home state to open up ATT Low Country. And the half of the camp that I've got to spend with him has been so eye-opening. Every time I leave the gym after finishing a training session with him, I learned 5 or 10 new things. It's almost overwhelming how much knowledge Malachi has. I mean, it is incredible. And it's not just, you know, MMA. It's jiu-jitsu as well. And he also knows a stand-up. So I couldn't have asked for a better coach at a better time. It really has come perfectly, even considering the circumstances. And on top of that, you know, a bunch of my training partners, almost all of them, went to the same gym. So, you know, we got a new location. We've got an awesome coach, and it's a great facility. I couldn't be more excited about this fight and what the future holds for me at ATT Low Country.
And, you know, we had Malachi on the show, on the last show, just before, 2 or 3 days before the opening, and due to a chronic case of traveling around the world, I was not able to make it to the opening, man, but how was it? I mean, how was it in person to be there and experience the energy, both from the staff side and from the fighter side?
Hey, man, it was just a fun time besides the sweltering heat. I mean, I considered jumping in the dunk tank just to cool down. I mean, it was so hot, and somehow it was still a lot of fun. I mean, within 5 minutes of being there, I forgot about the heat. We had some awesome food that I didn't get to enjoy, but my lovely fiance did. She said it was amazing. It's so cool to see idols of yours right in person, you know, people like Cole Miller and Kimbo Slice and people that you see on the TV and you're like, oh my gosh, those guys are so cool. They're, you know, top level MMA fighters. And then you see them in person and it's like, oh my gosh, I've seen that guy on TV. This is so cool. So it's almost like a fanboy moment when you get in those settings. So it's kind of hard to not have diarrhea of the mouth when I'm shaking Kimbo Slice's hand and telling him how awesome I think he is and how incredible his last fight was. So it was an all-around great experience just to be there and to know that I'll have that memory as long as that gym stays open as being a part of that grand opening.
Man, I can only imagine those sensations, especially, you know, being in the same field. You know, like it's always crazy to meet, you know, you're in Charleston, you're walking around, you run into Bill Murray and you're like, oh my god, it's freaking flipping Bill freaking Murray, but you don't want to look that way. You want to look to Bill like, oh hey, what's cool, man, what's cracking, man, loved you in Garfield, it's good, bro.
Exactly. You
be easy,
play cool
Bill. Yeah, you gotta try to Bill, play, you gotta try dude. To play that cool. Yeah, the Bill, what's up, big BBMs? What's up, bro? Maybe not call him BM. He might not like that. But
probably not.
Yeah. But, you know, to be in the same field, that's like what the difference, I guess, is like meeting Bill Murray on the streets of Charleston and you're an aspiring actor. Then
yes,
it becomes even
perfect.
More valuable and more important. And I think that that's more closer to what, you know, to there. It's kind of the double up, if you will.
Definitely. You know, I mean, it's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, you know, the double up, the double down, any way you want to go, up, down, up to you, man. You know?
Either way. You know, I'm flexible.
Either way, or three way. It's cool. Eiffel Tower it up, knowledge wise. I think it's a good positive experience. You know, I had one of those recently. I was in Washington and I went on kind of a Nirvana pilgrimage because I realized that not too many people, there is no such thing as like a Nirvana tour you can go on or anything like that. You have to kind of know where to go and what to look at. And I realized that, like, I couldn't find anybody that had actually gone in a day or two to all of these very specific places that play an important role. And so I decided to do this, you know, and kind of record the journey. And I was at Kurt Cobain's house in Olympia, where he wrote Nevermind, where they recorded a lot of the original tracks that would be on Nevermind, like almost all of them. And it's an apartment, 114 Pear Street. And so in a documentary I watched maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they were interviewing the original drummer for Nirvana that was on the first album and this and that. And he lived in apartment 3 in this building. And so I remember this big white van in the documentary. And as I'm walking up, you know, see the building and this and that, and get some pictures. The freaking white van's still in the driveway.
No way.
That's crazy. The van's still there. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to knock on this door, you know, because I remembered which one he was in. And sure as crap, dude is still there to this day. And so now all of a sudden, what started out is like, man, chance of luck, I wonder. So I'm standing here talking to this dude. It's like responsible for the like opening drum line of In Bloom. And it's the craziest. I'm trying to be, you know, like, oh, that's cool, man. Yeah, that's rad. Well, do you mind if I, you know, check out the backyard where all these famous pictures were taken? But my mind's like, ah, the whole time.
Yeah,
it's like there's got to be the same thing, man, especially because you're a fighter, you know what I mean? Because you do the same thing, man, and you know that, like, you know, you might, you know, a lot of these guys that were there for the grand opening are going to be kind of this cycling in and out theme of guys that train and teach there. So that's got to also be boosting, exciting, and maybe a little nerve-wracking if that even happens to the glorious Chad May.
Hey man, I will gladly take those butt kickings all day.
All day and the next, man. Malky seems like a great guy. You know, we talked for an hour the other day on a show, and he definitely mentioned you and Trader and some other guys. And I know you guys are getting ready for, you know, for fights, but I mean, he really seemed like he legitimately valued you guys being at that gym. And the potential that you guys have, and I think he would have said that even if there was no fights coming up. So I think the impact there is starting to be big, and I think that sort of seeing that perfect time is mutual on all sides, man. It really does seem like a great thing.
Well, you know what, man? The day that I went and signed up, the first day that he was taking people to sign up, I went in there. I think I was the sixth or the seventh person. You know, I just laid it out all on the table. I said, look, man, this is something that I'm trying to do. This is my passion. Breathe, sleep the gym because it keeps me going. And I want to try to make something of this. Can you help me do that? He looked at me and said, I have no issues doing that. We will do whatever you want. I can take you as far as you're willing to go. And he had not even known me for 5 minutes. Not even known me for 5 minutes and is already telling me everything that I wanted to hear. Because when you walk into a new situation like that at a gym, you never know how it's going to go. I've visited plenty of gyms when, you know, the trainers, I'm just thankful that they weren't mine. And on the flip side, been to plenty of gyms that, you know, have had awesome coaches. And this one, you just don't know. You really just didn't know. But, again, I could not be more thankful to have Malachy and someone that is going to invest as much of his time in me as I'm going to invest in the gym. So it's really awesome to have a relationship like that with someone that wants to help me get to where I'm going to go. And not that I have not had that previous, but again, within 5 minutes of knowing him, he's already telling me we're doing this. And it has been nothing but that since. So it has just been so amazing.
Absolutely, man. And I've heard the same from guys that I respect a lot in the game, especially on the training side, who just never stop. They don't just train for fights. They train all the time, like Mark Trader, Eddie Miller, those guys, man. They really seem to be shining and pleased. I think every time I open a message from any of the CMMA crew, we might call some of these guys. They just are glowing with being excited that really, I guess, that the essence of, I think a lot of those guys, not to get too personal, you know, on the radio, some of these guys might not fully understand this moment right here, but I know you will. I think that some of the, there were some people, I don't want to use the term scared, but I think some people were hurt or upset maybe that something that they love so much was for a moment there seemed to be in danger of kind of floating away. I think ATT Low Country also came in and anchored professional greatness and passion back into place in a way. Not to me, from being in 1 foot in, 1 foot out, like I've been, it seemed to really in a way be, you've used the term blessing a few times, so I'm going to throw it out there once myself. It seems to have been a blessing at the right time for that as well. I mean, literally right behind it.
I mean, if you're not from Charleston, then it would really be hard to understand the situation. But anyone who has been training at CMMA or just, I'm sure, in the Charleston area kind of understands exactly what you're talking about. Because you're right. Especially someone like me, where this is, like I said, what keeps me going. As soon as, you know, things might start falling apart, I'm freaking out. I'm nervous. I'm worried because if I don't have that in my life, I feel like I lose my identity. So, like you said, exactly.
Steve, it's getting deep on the show.
The anchor.
Yeah.
Well, man,
it's getting real.
What you see is what you get. You know, that's just the type of person I am.
I like it. We both look great in glasses and photographs, so, you know, I understand. Trust me, I'm the guy that knows, Chad. I feel your beautiful pain every moment. And speaking of beautiful pain, I definitely got to get this in, man. You know, Conflict 29 is just around the corner. You know, I know we saving the, you know, real fireworks for the end of July instead of all at the beginning. You've got this little handy-dandy flyweight title coming. A title bout coming your way with a very, very game Malik Harris. It's 4-1. Seen him fight, I think, three of those times. And the dude is an absolute animal. Funny guy, too, but an absolute animal when the cage door closes. Tell us a little bit about what you expect from that fight and what you look forward to seeing both out of your opponent and yourself in just, I guess, about 2 weeks, man.
First off, anytime I hear his name, it's always surrounded by awesome fighter. I was trying not to curse. awesome fighter. Really, really talented guy. I think he fought on a card that I fought on last year, won first round. So, you know, he's talented and he's tough, and those are the fights that I want. If I'm not fighting tough people, I'm not here to rack up amateur wins. You know, I want to eventually go to the next level, and if I'm not taking tough fights, then there's no point in fighting. So I am very thankful to have the opportunity to fight someone like him, And also, he just seems like an all-around respectful guy. You know, he's not he wants to get the business done in the cage, but outside of that, you know, this is fun. This is a sport. You know, it doesn't have to be calling names and crap talking and things like that. So that's cool, too. So I really look forward to getting in there with a game opponent, especially coming off, what, fight of the year? Fight of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what
fight
I mean?
Fight of the year. Yes, definitely. Not only fight of the year, but also in his last performance, I guess two cards ago. I can't remember exactly who he fought, but I remember sitting there and people saying, oh, God, I wish I could remember who it was. It sucks. That rarely happens to me. That it was kind of the situation. People were like, oh, man, you know, so-and-so, if he can get past Malik, you know, he's going to, like, shine. He's going to be, like, this new big thing. And then Harris just goes out there and puts it down, man. And also, you know, he is a really nice guy. Very funny. Very respectable. But I got to add this, though, man. You know, you're talking about name-calling. You're like, you're like, no name-calling. And I thought about, you know, to me, name-calling is such a kid thing. But if I was a fighter, I'd actually bring back, like, play school yard level, like, name-calling. I would straight up call my opponent a pee-pee head on the radio or, like, in an interview, something like that. Like a doo-doo face. Like, just something really, really mundanely out
something
there, though.
Something that you couldn't not laugh at?
Just to test it. Yeah, just to test it. I'd be like, why are you mad, bro? I called you a pee-pee head on freaking MMA Mayhem Radio. What are you so upset about?
Man, I would love to be able to do that, but, you know, anytime, even when I've had previous people, you know, call me out and stuff, I can never muster up enough to, you know, come out with the crap talking. So, I guess I just let my fighting do the talking for me.
That's good though. That's the way to go. I always feel that way. You know, unfortunately, being the Caped Crusader that I am, I can't really reveal all the street fights that I'm in time and again.
Of course,
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that I, you know, by night I'm Shane Crenshaw.
Man, well, I wish you would have been helping me on my takedown.
Yeah, he's like, dude, where's the wrestling, homie? Come on,
bro.
I need you. That's killer, man. So listen. It's on you now. You've already done it.
All right. I'm not going to go back and forth with you. So in terms of what I expect and what, you know, maybe the fans should expect as well, I expect Malik to come out fast and hard. You know, we're little guys. We're not that there is not knockout power in the 125 division, because there definitely is, not saying that. But I just mean that by the third round, you're not going to see two guys flat-footed throwing bombs. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to be fighting. I expect a high pace, high output, and I expect him to try to push me against the cage, push the takedowns, and really try to work what seems to be his bread-and-butter game, which would be his wrestling. What sucks for him, though, is...
You just have the wrestling skills.
Right. And that is awesome for him. What is not awesome for him is that I have no problem being on my back. You can ask anyone at my gym. I am comfortable there. I'm comfortable sweeping. I'm comfortable submitting. I think in 12 jiu-jitsu matches, I've won 11 out of 12 of them on my back, and the one that I lost, but that was my first tournament. So I'm comfortable fighting off my back. I have no problem.
I believe it.
Doing that.
I think like 42% of the fight pictures I've seen of you, at least at a minimum, have been of you like in some sort of submission.
Guard,
submission
some sort of guard.
Move.
Yes,
tons of them, man. I could say, even from not having seen you fight, I could agree with that completely.
So, you know, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, maybe he wants to stand more, or maybe he wants to test and find out how good my submission game is. And that's okay with me, because that's where I'm the most confident. I also am extremely confident that if I am taken down, that I will sweep him. I'm 110% confident in that. And Malachi has really been instilling in me the Carlson Gracie get on top attitude and stay on top and punish. And it's really starting to show in my grappling, because how I normally play jiu-jitsu or roll, whatever you want to call it, is very mobile, very fast until I'm in back mount, and then, you know, then I chill. As opposed to now, you know, I'm going to sit in your half guard. That's fine. I'll sit in your half guard and just chip away, chip away, chip away, chip away until, you know, maybe then I'll go to side control and chip away and chip away. So Malachi says it best. It's like slow drowning. And I think that not only is that more energy efficient, but it's also just a better all-around strategy for someone who is a grappler. And so that's pretty much my perspective on the ground. My takedown defense, I have a lot of confidence in it. But if I get taken down, it is not the end of the world for me. So as we move on up to the hands, I think I've got a long, long reach on him. I'm way taller than him, and I've got some size on him as well. So all those things will help in the grappling. But in the stand-up, too, I plan to keep my distance, fight on the outside, and if... you know, maybe he'll get frustrated and I'll look for my counters, or maybe he'll get frustrated and look for the takedown. And, you know, I have no problem keeping it standing either. I have not really got the opportunity to let my stand-up show and show what John Jader and Full Force has taught me. So if we do stay up standing, then that's fine. I look forward to testing myself against him.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. I often love these battles that have that potential for want this kind of, I'm not going to say a nullification, because you never know how those things go until you're seeing
for
it.
Sure,
but,
for sure.
You know, you'll have two. Yeah, they could. And you see that possibility for, like, well, man, with this guy's BJJ, this guy's wrestling, man, we might just end up seeing two guys on their feet until something happens. And I think this fight does have that potential, man. And a matter of fact, I think that's part of the excitement of it, is that I think fans know that.
Yeah,
you know, these Southeast fans are educated, man. They know what they're up. They know what they're in for. They know what they're going to see on fight night. And I think that's a real excitement to this fight, is knowing, like, well, man, these guys, you know, where we know where they just freaking kill it, man, we might end up just seeing, you know, hands. And then I think that's awesome. I think it's a true dynamite aspect of this battle, man.
Man, I tell you what, even with the gym situation, I have not felt more confident going into a fight. I'm super excited to get in there and mix it up and not only represent the gyms and show Charleston a good time, but, you know, represent Charleston and put that city on my back. And, you know, once we start traveling, I'm trying to spread the name. I was a military brat growing up. I moved around a lot, and Charleston was the only place that I've had the choice to live at. I chose to move here. So I look at this as something... You know, I'm an adopted son of Charleston, and I want to represent that well in the cage.
That's awesome, man. Listen, I want to I save the best question for last. I'm sorry for the buzzsaw behind me. They're building something. Oh, yes, he also had a ticket to Paradise. There's the other one. Ticket. Anyways, I saved the most important question for last as we wrap up here, man. I think there's something that all the fans want to know. Something I've definitely been getting tons of mail about, and I know it's been on your mind as well as the entire Southeast as we get close to this fight. How has, and you can be honest, man, how has Elder Scrolls Tamriel Online been?
Honestly, Eric, I quit playing Batman because of it. Does that give you any indication of how awesome it is?
Wow. Wow, wow. You know, I'd heard the rumors. I had thought I saw it on TNZ, but this is real. Things are real now.
No, it is happening. It is in full effect, actually, as we speak.
You're like, listen, I moved from driving dilated to playing it currently while talking to you.
You could hear it in the background? Dang it, I didn't turn it down.
Like, yeah. Level 12 on a roll. listen, Chad, I want to thank you so much, man. I know it took us a couple of times to do this. I've been like, it's been so hard for me to get used to the crazy time difference here, and you know, it's easy. They don't lie on the island.
Nothing to apologize for.
Like,
nothing. Hey man, but I just want to take a second before we wrap this up. Mm-hmm. Can I just shout out some sponsors real quick and say thank you to my coaches as well?
Dude. We always have time for that. I was getting, I would never let a show close without that occurring, man.
For sure.
Of course.
Well,
as
this
always,
is my first podcast, so you know, I just wanted to make sure that everyone gets credit where it's deserved. So first off, Casey Colias for getting me into this game and keeping me invested. And you know, he trains at a different gym now, and I couldn't be more happy for him. But I'm so thankful to have him. Have brought me up through this. Obviously, John Jader and Jason Hicks with Full Force. Pierre Goulet and Todd Ellis still at Charleston Fit or Charleston MMA, and they still have invested a lot of time in me with strength and conditioning and keeping everything together, so I really want to say thank you to them. Obviously, ATT and Malachi, I couldn't be more appreciative of being welcomed with open arms, and I'm just so excited to go out and really wave that banner here in a couple weeks. And last but not least, I've got two local guys in Charleston who I've personally known, but they also have taken the opportunity to for me as a 3-0 amateur, which is not that experience, to give me free products and represent their brand. So I couldn't be more blessed or appreciative, obviously the common words in our conversation, but with Josh Minona and Soul Kimonos and Andy Dents at Palmetto Nutrition. These two guys have given me plenty of gear, plenty of supplements, anything I've needed I haven't had to come out of pocket for, and I've just really, really appreciated that being a broke college student. So I definitely had to say thank you to them.
And we want to say thank you to them as well for keeping these amazing fighters fight ready and able and fueled for these epic fight nights that they bring because it's a lot more than just one night on the fighter side. And so we also appreciate that as well. And I'd like to second that as far as all those go, man. It's great people. And, you know, we love, you know, CMMA Full Force. The presence of ATT here, I think, you know, again, is going to take this and make an actual hub the gateway for that elite level, man. Chad, it's been a great one, man. You know what I'm saying? You have this amazing fight coming up. I'm up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing today. I stopped planning it. That's the way this place works. I just stopped planning what I'm doing and just let it happen.
Hey, when everything is that slow, why plan?
Exactly, man. So I figure your game planning is enough for both of us, man. I always love talking to you. Of course, every opportunity I get inside and outside the cage, you are a great fighter and a great person. And I love when matches like this come along when just everybody involved, both fighters and everyone's just so high levels, just so professional, and they're just so good-natured and stuff that everyone just has nothing but excitement to share and look forward to, man. So I'm glad to be a part of that. And very much looking forward to, I don't want to call it a return because you haven't really left, but it's been a long time since we've seen you fight. So
sure.
You know that energy
sure.
there
the
as well,
injury
brother.
Plague bit me the last year, so I'm ready to get back in there, that's for sure.
Absolutely, man. Well, we will let you get on cracking with your day. I'm going to start my morning. So we appreciate it, man. And we will talk to you around the bend in some post-fight action, brother.
All right, Eric. You have a good day, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Episode number 119. That was Chad May. On the next show, 120, we will have Malik Harris. He will be on. Make sure to check out Conflict 29. It's going down July 25th, Mimidra Auditorium right there in Charleston, man. Get those tickets if you can even do so now. They're floating around like digital tumbleweeds online. Derek Kennington versus Shane Crenshaw moved up to the main event now that Sam Promeny is out, along with Nick Smiley. Mo Webb, Josh Robinson, Solo Staley taking on Chris Kane on 11 days' notice. Adrian Henderson versus Patrick Martin. That's the pro side, man. Then this AMI side headlined by this flyweight bout between Chad Williams